Silence is not golden.
This is the right choice for Maryland. Talk Radio 680,
WCBN, Baltimore. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. An American man abducted more than 2 years ago while visiting Afghanistan as a tourist has been released by the Taliban. The State Department says George Glesman was freed under a deal brokered by U.S. and Qatari negotiators. The Justice Department is playing hardball with a federal district judge over the administration's deportation policy.
The DOJ is resisting a federal judge's demand for more information about flights that took deportees to El Salvador over the weekend. It argues that the court is intruding in the executive branch's authority. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
We have judges who are acting as partisan activists from the bench.
The administration has until noon today to either provide the requested information or to make a claim that it must be withheld because it would harm state secrets. Greg Clugston. The White House.
An executive order to be signed later today by President Trump could set the stage for a constitutional showdown. The order moves to abolish the congressionally created Department of Education. The power of prayer on full display in the Oval Office. Clergy members visiting the president the other day.
The White House posted an image of the leaders gathered in prayer around President Trump as he sat at his desk. In February, President Trump signed an executive order to establish the White House Faith Office as part of the Domestic Policy Council. The order states the new office will consult with faith leaders on various topics, including defending religious liberty.
And that's correspondent Tayshia Stevens. Use home sales up 4.2%. last month from January. That according to the National Association of Realtors. However, existing home sales fell 1.2% when compared with February of last year. Watching Wall Street this hour, stocks are higher. The Dow is up 213 points. The NASDAQ better by 86 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Financing a home, especially in today's market, is one of the biggest decisions you'll make for your family. Work with a mortgage company that puts you first. I do. Work with a lender founded on biblical principles like do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I do. It's Mike Gallagher for the only mortgage company I've used for almost a decade now when financing or refinancing Fellowship Home Loans. I'm friends with the owners, Mike and Brian. I even have them on my show occasionally. I know the care their team puts into every single customer. I can personally tell you that it's a smooth, stress-free process. And that's due to Fellowship's level of service and expertise that puts you in the right loan for your family and your goals. There's a reason Fellowship Home Loans is flooded with five-star reviews. Whether purchasing a home or a cash-out refi to consolidate some higher interest debt, you can trust Fellowship Home Loans. Start the process. Make the call. 800-510-MIKE. 800-510-MIKE. 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans. Mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers. Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 819382.
Good morning. It's 1103. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Part of busy Boston Street in East Baltimore will be closed this weekend for railroad crossing repairs. The City Department of Transportation says beginning at around 6 p.m. Friday, Boston Street will be closed to through traffic in both directions between South Conklin and South Newkirk Streets. The roadway is expected to reopen to traffic by 5 a.m. Monday. While the work is underway, drivers are encouraged to use O'Donnell Street as an alternate route, and those trying to access 95 can take Clinton Street to the 95 ramps along Keith Avenue. Annapolis police have identified a suspect in Wednesday's deadly shooting near a school bus stop on Clay Street. An arrest warrant has been issued for Roscoe Jerome Jones of Oxon Hill for the shooting that killed John Sims Jr. and wounded an 11-year-old child. Police say anyone who sees the suspect should not approach him and call 911. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barrowy at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barrowy now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Recently demoted Kobe Mayo took to social media yesterday to clarify his outburst after being optioned on Tuesday. No disrespect to the Orioles organization, he meant, saying he didn't do enough to earn a roster spot. New Ravens backup quarterback Cooper Rush on the Lounge podcast produced by the Ravens. Rush was an undrafted free agent when he caught on with the Cowboys back in 2017 and said back then even he wouldn't have spent a draft choice on himself.
I'm never going to impress anybody in shorts throwing the ball. I was fortunate enough to play 4 years in college, so a lot of ball. Learned a lot of situational type things.
And finally, with the NCAA basketball tournament in full gear today, a look back at some of the great calls in tournament history. This one from April 15th, 2016. Championship game, Villanova, Carolina. 3 seconds to play, game tied at 74.
Going to go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
The great Jim Nance with the call on CBS. That was Villanova's first of two national championships under Jay Wright in 3 years. Coming up in 30 minutes, perhaps the greatest tournament moment of them all. And that is Stein on Sports.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
At 11:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Rain on the way, some showers this afternoon, 68 today. Tomorrow, a sunny, breezy, and cooler day, more like March, 58. Saturday, warming up, partly cloudy, 66 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Currently 56 degrees in Bel Air, 58 in Halethorpe, and 61 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? We've had a great show thus far, talking about the taxes, talking about Governor Wes Moore, talking about the Department of Education. Obviously, these things are all very important. I also want to say happy first day of spring. Yes, that is today. And I did want to mention real quick here, I joined this group that is working alongside the White House, natureisnonpartisan.org. You're going to see posts from me here in just a second here on all my social media accounts. And that is because this group is trying to urge political leaders on Capitol Hill to really take farmers seriously, right? We were talking about how Wes Moore is talking about our farmers. And so that's why I joined. I do believe that farmland is, I don't know if I would say under attack, but we could do better. We could do better. So there's a pledge that's with the post that I'm posting out if you want to sign that pledge. And what they're doing is just taking that pledge and petition to Capitol Hill. And so when they present this in front of the committee, they could say, oh, look, we've got a million signatures. We've got this. We've got that. And they're also going to bring some farmers to Capitol Hill to further the conversation and let these elected officials know exactly what they need. Because remember, a lot of those on Capitol Hill, they're lawyers, right? I mean, most of them are lawyers, to be honest with you. Some of them are business owners. Some of the, you know, there are very few farmers on Capitol Hill, and it shows. It shows. So, again, Nature is Nonpartisan is the name of the group, and I'll be posting that here shortly. Speaking of which, because this is all environmentally related. Speaking of which, we have our guests on the line today, David Jones and Curtis Bay. Real quick, David, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ms. Kim.
Good morning. So there's a lot that's been going on in Curtis Bay, and you know, we've been trying to keep track of this. Now, you absolutely are keeping track because you live there. But we're trying to help. We're hoping that by making so much noise and all the work that you're doing and with your entire community there, I know you guys went to Annapolis and everything. I'm hoping that they're starting to listen to you much more. So you got to give us, first of all, give us the backstory for those that are just listening. But also, I'm hoping there's a good update here.
Oh, just a quick backstory. Community of Curtis Bay has been, you know, forgotten for so long. It's hard to remember how long it's been. This area has been inundated by disgusting industries that have taken advantage of this area for hundreds of years. Crime is out of control. You know, drug dealers. Trash, I mean, you name it, it doesn't matter, it's here, and it's being taken full advantage of because people know that it can be. Our elected officials are not doing their jobs to protect the people of this community and many communities that are around Curtis Bay and in Maryland in general. And I have been fighting for this, I think it's been about 4 years now, 3 or 4 years now, I've been fighting hard for this, and we're starting to make some progress, but I just feel like it's still short-lived and that our elected officials are not taking these issues as seriously as they should.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, David. And look, I live near an open-air drug market, but mine isn't as severe as yours because I've seen, and you even, thank you again for sharing videos, I've seen shootouts. I mean, it is bad over there in some cases. You know, before we get to the pollution part of this, has the crime gotten any better?
The crime has gotten a little bit better over here. It's not where we would like it, but there has been some major people taken off the board. I can only hope that our judges do their part because BPD is trying. They really are. You know, I thank God for State's Attorney Ivan Bates and his whole office because if it wasn't for that man and the people that work for him, this city would still be in a bad place. He's done a lot to try to change the wrongs from the previous administration. But we still have a lot of work to do, and we still need the key players at the table to affect these real changes. And I'm speaking directly to the governor. I'm speaking directly to Brandon Scott. These men, you know, they are our commander-in-chiefs of, you know, the city and state, and we need them at the table with partners like me and other people in these communities that truly understand these dynamics. Stop hiring people to tell us what we need and just sit down at the table and listen and do what we tell you that we need, because that's the more effective way to actually get change.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I know you were also trying to work with your councilwoman there, and for a little while there, she wasn't very receptive. Is there a better communication line there between your group and the community and the councilwoman?
I would definitely say yes. I would say it was very rocky start in the beginning with Ms. Porter, you know, trying to figure out, you know, the dynamics, you know, that she's coming from and dealing with and I'm coming from and dealing with. It can be a very hard thing to find a common ground. And what I've found is she does care about this community. She cares a lot about all the communities she represents. But the big problem she has is that she can only do so much. And she really does try. You know, I feel bad that I didn't give her as much credit as I should. She is out here really trying. It might not always be what I want, but it is for the greater good of the people that she's representing, and I will give that to her. And she's done a lot for this community. She really has, and she advocates all the time. But again, she is just one of so many that need to do the people's work and do what the people that elected them to do for we the people. And it's just not really happening. It's not. I just, like you said, I was in Annapolis testifying. I testified in the Senate and the House, and you know, I was actually reprimanded in the House for speaking what was the truth when I called one of the House representatives a disgusting human being because he literally said, and I quote, that industry and profit is more important than people's public health and safety. It wasn't along those lines, but it was that political jargon that they always spit so they can get out of it, and, you know, if they have to.
Right, right. And you know what? And I remember when all that happened, and you're spot on for calling it out, because it's not more important than your health and safety. Speaking of which, you know, the pollution there, I know Johns Hopkins did a study. If you could walk our audience through that and let us know, you know, what is going on, because, you know, apparently we have a governor that's all about our environment. He wants to put $1 billion into the climate change initiatives and something to hopefully lessen the emissions in the air. You would think that Curtis Bay would get a piece of that pie. Like I said, if you could walk people through that and then just let us know, you know, are you getting anybody, you know, to really answer the phone and talk to you about what could be done with the current status of the pollution?
No, we really can't get anyone to answer the phone. Even my direct legislation representatives for District 46 are not doing as much as they should. As far as the people sponsoring the bills that we're trying to get passed, these are elected officials outside of my district. Governor Moore, you know, again, he talks a good game about change and, you know, trying to make things better as far as environmental injustice. Curtis Bay is ground zero across the United States, not just Maryland, across the United States. Curtis Bay has 71 industries in it. It is the largest affected area for industry in the country. You got to understand, Curtis Bay is only 4 square miles. We have 71 industries that inundate us constantly. It's just, like I said, no one is really taking this serious. Everyone talks a good game, but no one's sitting down at the table to make real change. The bill that we're trying to get passed now, which is the Cherish Act, we're having a lot of pushback on that. You know, MDE's been involved in that heavily, which I don't believe they should be in any part of it, because the Cherish Act actually holds them accountable for the things that they're not doing as far as protecting my community. And a lot of other things. It allows communities like mine that are inundated with so much pollution to really hold these people accountable and be able to get them to do the right things. Maryland is unfortunately one of those states that they don't take environmental justice seriously. There's no real protocols put in place to protect us. And I'm speaking to your listeners to let them understand, because everyone looks at my community as Curtis Bay is just, it's a bad place. You know, people there just need to move. There's no pride in that community. And that could be further from the truth. I'd like to tell your listeners that they need to wake up and understand that what is happening here affects them directly. PM2.5, which comes from the coal factory across the street from me, has a 30-mile radius. It stays in the air for up to 10 days. When that gets into your lungs, you cannot get it out. It actually passes through the blood barrier. This causes birth defects, health defects, cancer, you name it. And again, our elected officials would rather keep the tax revenue rolling in to the state than actually doing the right thing and getting this poison out of our state. And the biggest problem we have right now is, even on a state level, they're not doing what they should. And these industries keep hiding behind the commerce law on a federal level. And that's all they keep going to. And they keep basically threatening to sue Maryland. The sad reality is Maryland only generates about $650 million a year from the coal industry, period. I don't know what the number is because no one's ever figured it out. I can only imagine how much Maryland spends on Medicare and other health things that people deal with from their health standpoint to pay for those things. Even the other bill that we're trying to get passed, which is a per tonnage fee, that would generate $300 million for Maryland. They're only trying to give 2% to communities like mine. So again, that shows you, on the front end, it's good for Maryland because it's tax revenue, but on the back end, it's bad for the communities that are affected by it. I literally live in a sacrifice zone. My community is literally labeled a sacrifice zone. It's just disgusting, Kim, and I, again, don't know what to do. I keep doing what I'm doing. I fight every day. I take the time out of my day every day. I don't get paid for these things.
Right.
and just no one's taking it serious. So again, I'm speaking to the governor. I'm pleading with you, sir, to sit down with my community and let's affect real change. And I'm speaking to the mayor, and I'm speaking to all politicians out there, because this affects all of us. We can't fix it unless we're all at the table.
Yeah.
And that goes back to GVRS. You know, GVRS finally being in my community after me screaming for 4 years. I finally have everybody at the table so no one can point fingers anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, David, we appreciate all the work that you're doing. I know that you were, listening that day. There was a little bit of debate on what exactly is putting this pollution in the air. And I know you were texting me and I was trying to follow along. But if you could just describe or explain that, because I think it also goes along with that Johns Hopkins study.
So basically, there's mass pollution down here, and it's everywhere. But unfortunately, you can't really see a lot of it. You can smell it, you can taste it, you can touch it. But the coal dust, you can actually see it. So when the coal comes from West Virginia and it gets down here to Curtis Bay, from the time it leaves there to the time it gets here, 550 pounds of coal or 540 pounds of coal falls off the train.
Okay.
By the time it gets here, it's ground up and then it's put into massive piles here before it's exported or we use it locally. Within it being ground up and being in my community within less than 1 hour, based on the health study that we've done and the scientific study, which again is community driven. None of our state partners are doing anything. None of our federal partners are doing anything. We found that it impacts the community within that time frame, and that's when people have harm done to them.
Gotcha. But
again, industry wins over always. They're trying to discredit our great scientists from Johns Hopkins and our partners and their science. They're trying to discredit us as a community. And they keep saying that what we're seeing and what is happening is not the case.
So this
PSX does not want to do right by any community. They only want to do right by their profits.
So this is a time where they don't want to follow the science. Is that what you're saying, David? They don't
That's
want to
correct.
Follow.
Correct. They don't want to follow the science. They want to follow the profits. That's all they want to do. They keep saying, when I go to these things, that they're actively working with the community. They keep saying that they've invested all this money to protect my community. That is further from the truth. Like I said, they keep using the fact that they will sue the state if they don't get what they want. They're like little children throwing tantrums. They keep, you know, threatening the fact that they'll take their coal production to another state is what they do. And the sad reality is we're number two when it comes to coal production in the state, in the whole United States. Number one is actually in Virginia, and I feel even worse for the people in Virginia because their elected officials are already bought and paid for just like ours, but it's even worse.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, and I could be wrong, and I appreciate you joining us today. It sounds like it's the transport part of it. No?
It's definitely the transport part, because when it leaves West Virginia and gets here, the coal cars are open. There's nothing to protect the transport. It's literally they spray water on it and they say that's good enough. The worst is when it gets here, because it's technically ground zero here, there's nothing to do but spray a little bit of water on it. All CSX keeps saying is we're talking, we have a plan to do something. They haven't done anything in 130 years they've been here in this community but destroy this community constantly. And I try to explain to people that CSX last year alone made $14 billion. $2 billion of that came from Curtis Bay alone. And Curtis Bay is not being protected from this industry that is destroying us. They literally paid only $1,750,000 for the explosion that they just had to the community. That is the largest fine that was ever implemented to an industry in Maryland. And that was for the medical waste incinerator that we have, which is the largest medical waste incinerator in Maryland.
Well, David,
they don't want to pay for their wrongs. They just don't. They don't. And even if they do put the windscreen up that they swear they're going to do, no one's going to hold them to doing so. And if they do, it's a $25,000 a day fine for 1 year that comes to $10 million, which is a drop in the hat for them doing the right thing.
Well, David, I appreciate the update here. And if you could give us an update on, let us know how those bills do in Annapolis. I got to take a break here. But again, thank you as always for coming on the show. I really
just
do appreciate
quick,
it.
Tim, yep. The Terror Act, they're trying to shoot it down. The elected officials, like I said, they're more worried about money. So all I can say to your listeners real quick is this does affect you. So please go to your elected officials and fight for this community because it impacts you. And thank you as always, Ms. Kim.
As always. Yes, thank you so much, David. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Joining me in studio once again is Dr. Melissa Segev from Audiology Associates. When silence is not golden, those are the folks you want to go see. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Why is an audiologist seeing an audiologist before you purchase an over-the-counter hearing aid important?
You know, a lot of there's so much talk now with Apple coming into the market with over-the-counter hearing aids, and pretty much every other tech company has some sort of over-the-counter device because it's an industry and it's a business for them. It is more than that for us as audiologists because we use that as treatment services for patients who need our help with difficulty hearing, communicating. And then, of course, we look at the brain as we get older and make sure the brain is getting all the information it needs to stay strong. I think it's really important to see an audiologist as one. Every over-the-counter hearing aid is really proven to be effective or diagnosed for a mild to moderate loss. Mm-hmm. And I would really say more mild, because when you get moderate, you get a lot of other things that happen. But there's not a lot of technology in those devices. And, you know, what if it's not a hearing problem? I mean, we remove wax every day.
Right.
What if there's an infection? Some people have no idea that there is a growth and we can see it from the ear or determine that something needs to be looked in further. Especially if you have hearing loss in one ear and not another, you're actually contraindicated. And there's a list of kind of a history checklist that patients do themselves, but I don't really think people are doing it regularly because a lot of people come to my office and they'll say, like, am I a candidate? And I'm always honest about that because I always want what's best for them.
Yeah.
And often after going through their history, I'm like, no, you're not a candidate and this is why. Or your hearing loss is too severe, or you struggle in noise, or you have a $4,000 hearing aid benefit. Why would you pay out of pocket for something that's, you know, not even half as qualified for what you need as this? So I think it's really important to come in and at least get a thorough evaluation to know if you are a candidate for those devices, and then we help guide what one is best for you.
Dr. Melissa Segev, Audiology Associates. Phone number is 410-944-3100, aaiaudiology.com, online.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
It was 1980-something.
All right. That was David Jones of Curtis Bank. And David, thank you for all the work that you're doing. And as I mentioned, this is kind of where the questions were. I don't know if you guys recall, maybe you were listening that day, but there was a caller that called in and he said he used to work at the plant and that there wasn't anything coming out of the plant itself. And I said, are you sure about that? Because, of course, you know, I looked at the videos and I looked at the pictures and I could see everything that was on the cars and things like that. So to that caller, really is correct. It's not coming from the plant itself. It sounds like it's mostly coming when it's being transported. And so that's why David mentioned, and I don't think I'm wrong on this, that's why David mentioned those screens to go on top of the CXX cars. Because right now, what it's doing is it's coming out completely open. And look, I have railroad tracks there in Middle River by Mountain State Airport where I see the CSX cars coming across, and they are completely open. So as they're traveling on these tracks and they're open, that's then, you know, in the air wherever it travels. So even in Middle River and every other place, it's coming from there. Now, of course, I do believe that some is coming from the facility as well. It sounds to me that a lot of it is coming from when it's being transported. And as David mentioned, and especially those that have train tracks near their homes, and you have those CSX cars coming through your neighborhood as well, you would be affected as well. So if you could contact your state senators, even contact those delegates and just say, hey, you know what? We do have an issue in Curtis Bay, and it is affecting more than just Curtis Bay. And if you really are serious about the emissions in the air and you're serious about the air quality, please, let's figure out a solution. That's all they're asking. They're just asking for a solution. Not too much to ask, is it? No. All right, coming up next, Senator Angela Alsobrooks and her lie. And also, what was going on at the CIA headquarters yesterday? I'll let you know.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. An American man abducted more than 2 years ago while visiting Afghanistan as a tourist has been released by the Taliban. The State Department says George Glesman was freed under a deal that was worked out by U.S. and Qatari negotiators. Justice Department playing hardball with a federal district judge over the administration's deportation policy. An executive order that will be signed today by President Trump could set the stage for a constitutional showdown. The order abolishes the congressionally created Department of Education. Used home sales rose 4.2% last month from January. That, according to the National Association of Realtors, which also says sales fell 1.2% when compared with February of last year. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 180 points, the NASDAQ 96 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. I spent 16 years as an offensive lineman battling in the trenches every week. That takes a toll on your body, especially your feet. Every achievement was built on years of commitment and passion for the game. Now it's about enjoying life beyond the field. After I retired, the aches and pains did not go away. That's why I turned to Good Feet Arch Supports. They've given me the stability I need. Good Feet Arch Supports are designed to support all four arches in each foot, evenly distribute your body weight, and support your kinetic chain. Now, over a decade into retirement, I'm still staying active thanks to my Good Feet Arch Supports. If you want to keep moving comfortably, no matter what you're doing, check out the Good Feet store. It's all about staying in the game, however you define it. Live the life you love. Don't let your feet get in the way. Try them for yourself with a free fitting and test walk.
The Good Feet store is in Annapolis, Columbia, Hunt Valley, and in White Marsh, with other locations across Greater DC and Baltimore. Visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Could Tomioki Sugano be the key to the Orioles' rotation this year? The 35-year-old free agent has been unhittable in four spring starts, and he goes for the final time before opening day tonight, when the Birds host the Yankees at 6:05 on Masson. Sugano, four games, 10.1 innings pitched, no runs allowed this spring. Maryland touchdown in Seattle yesterday, anticipating their Friday matchup with Grand Canyon University. Head coach Kevin Willer telling the media that his experience in the Big Ten has had a profound effect on him.
This conference has made me a much better coach. It's interesting, you know, as you get older, I'm 49, I was still the third youngest coach in this league.
Game time is 4:35 p.m. tomorrow. And finally, with the NCAA basketball tournament in full gear today, a look back at some of the great moments in tournament history. This one, perhaps the greatest of them all. March 28th, 1992. The play has become simply known as the shot.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
The great Vern Lundquist on the call for CBS. Leitner at the buzzer in the Elite Eight at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. Duke 104, Kentucky 103. The Wildcats denied back-to-back championships. Coming up in 30 minutes, make way for the machine. And that is Stein on Sports.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowi and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
If you have plans later today, be ready for some rain. The cold front's getting closer. Showers will develop by the afternoon. 68 the high today. Some showers around this evening. We dry out later on tonight. Nice weekend starting tomorrow through Sunday. Plenty of sunshine. Cooler tomorrow, 58. Saturday, a mild day. 66 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Need new blinds?
At Blinds.com, we offer guaranteed low prices, guaranteed satisfaction, free samples, and free shipping. At Blindster, we take the fear out of ordering custom blinds, shades, and shutters so you can do it yourself and save big. Blindster.com.
Milo's Rewards Week is coming, and it's kind of a big deal. Members, get ready for up to 40% off store-wide on hundreds of items. Join for free today. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
Are you concerned with AMD? Now protecting your eyes is easier thanks to new Nordics Blueberry Eye Supplements. Available now at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
My heart's never smiled so hard.
All right, all right. I was just trying to look further into what's going on in Curtis Bay. But remember, we also talk often on the show about the energy crisis and the fact that we import so much here in the state. As you heard there from David Jones at Curtis Bay, that train that he's talking about is coming in from West Virginia. There are better solutions to handle these things. It's just unfortunate that we have elected officials that and I don't think that they're all incompetent. Let me just put it this way, too. I don't think all of the Democrats are incompetent. I think that some of them are just lazy. I do. I think some of them don't want to actually sit down with community leaders like David or others. And I don't think they want to sit down and have to come up with a real solution. I don't think they want to have to call some of these businesses to the table and the corporations and come up with something that works. I think that they are lazy. I do. If you follow any of these people on social media, and I do. This is how I saw Congressman Kwesi Tufuma at the Soul Train line at Morgan State University. They have all of these black tie events. They're always at a party, right? They're at parties. They think that being in the House and the Senate in the Maryland General Assembly is so cool. Some of them feel like they're little celebrities. And it's just like, dude, you were elected to get a job done. Seriously. I know one that is so concerned about the furniture and things in the office there. It's like you're there for 90 days. And mind you, you were voting for a 3-day work week. And you're worried about the setup in your office? I don't care about the setup in your office. like, dude, come on. You are there to work. You're there to work. And it's just, I think some people, like, they want to do, like, you know, all these ribbon cuttings and the citations and, oh, hello, hello, you know, and they do it during session. It's like, do that when you're not in session. When you're in session, get stuff done, okay? And that's what I think a lot of this comes down to, laziness. And I won't put it just on Democrats, but when I see what's going on in Annapolis, it's mostly the Democrats. But I will say, I don't know if you guys noticed, but this younger generation, and I would say even just a generation under me, they are so lazy. So lazy. And it's not all, not everybody, but there's a large amount of lazy people. I told Olivia the other day, I said, look, as long as you look decent and you get up and, you know, present your best self and you work hard, you can't fail in this country, because there's so many people that do the bare minimum. If you just take initiative, you can't fail. You really cannot. And I feel as though those that took the initiative, many of them are the entrepreneurs, right? They're the business owners. They're the ones signing payroll. And it's like some of them feel like they're running a charity because, you know, because of what's not just the taxes and the rules and regulations, but also I see some of the turnover at some of these places. And you're like, man, that's got to be annoying, having to retrain people and having to do this and do that. I'm just like, what? Can people just, you know, get a job and love it and stick to it? You know, retire after 30, 40 years like, you know, the boomers did. Is it that hard? All right. I do want to talk about all these lies that I saw online. All right. I got Senator Angela Alsobrooks, and I wasn't very excited about her, but I didn't feel either way about Angela because I didn't know much about her. I just knew that she was the county executive of PG County. I grew up in PG County. My mom still lives in PG County. There is not trash all over the place. The National Harbor's doing all right. So I didn't think it was, you know, I thought, well, maybe she's a moderate, right? She seemed to care about juvenile crime. Well, now she must have gotten her talking points from the DNC. Because she is just lying. She's lying, lying, pants on fire, this Angela now. Take a listen.
Who's footing the bill for the Republicans' billionaire tax cuts? The nearly 2 million Marylanders who are Medicaid. For me, I answer to the people of Maryland. People who grew up in families like the one that I grew up in. And you know what? Your interests are my interests, and your fight is my fight. Similar to the mother that I met, who has a son with disabilities, and she's absolutely terrified that his Medicaid will be cut. All of this in order to afford billionaire tax cuts is absolutely disgusting. It's unconscionable. It's abhorrent.
So imagine saying that there were 2 million people in Maryland alone on Medicaid. You don't think that was a little shocking of a number, Senator? It's a shocking number. It's a shocking number. Now, like I said, I like John Deedy. I do like John Deedy. He's the analyst that comes on Fox 45. He was very supportive of Johnny O. And, you know, look, he's friends with him. It is what it is, all right? It was a race. I didn't get elected. Johnny won. It is what it is. Well, anyways, you know, John Deedy, he posts under Angela Alsobrooks' post about this because somebody says, here's what somebody said. His name is Morris to Angela Alsobrooks. He says 30% of Maryland population is on Medicaid. That's apparent. OK. And so that is a lot. That's a lot. 30%. 30%. That's a lot. Well, John didn't get the local numbers. John Deedy did not get the local numbers. He said a majority of them are white. Those on Medicaid. So, you know, I swooped in. I said, what? 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 We got the numbers, right? Because on a national level, John is right. Those on Medicaid are white on a national level. And that's why you can continue to have this conversation and say it's not even race related because there are so many different people taking advantage of Medicaid. Real quick, here's the numbers, right? And again, I don't know what Angela was talking about, but this is the fear-mongering that they do, right? Oh, Republicans want to slash Medicaid. They want to slash Social Security. We don't want to slash any of that. But this is what I go back to with Shermichael Singleton on CNN last night. We played that clip earlier, and he was saying, what's the Democrat message? You guys have nothing. They don't. They have like a bag of lies. They have a bag of lies. And they're hoping that their constituents are only watching MSNBC. You know what? If you're watching CNN right now and you're watching Shermichael or Scott Jennings and those that are, you know, really giving the rebuttals there to some of these liberal arguments, those that are watching CNN, they might be going independent here soon because CNN has decided that they're not going to just lie 24/7. They're lying like, you know, 16/7, you know? I don't know. So here's the deal. I looked at the numbers. This is a fact sheet on Medicaid in Maryland. It came out. This one was August 2024. So, yes, at this time, you had 1.6 million people enrolled in Medicaid. Now, when you go to Angela Alsobrooks, she said 2 million people are enrolled in Medicaid. Is it at 2 million? Right now, the number that I saw, and this was, it looks like January 2025, we're at 1.8. So you can round that up and say 2 million. So that part, that what she said was not a lie. All right. Now, on this fact sheet, it says 22% of Maryland population is considered low income. Okay. 22%. That's actually not that bad considering some other states, to be honest with you. But when you go and you take a look at those that are on Medicaid, I just want you to know here in the state of Maryland, you're looking at 48% black. And then if you're looking at the white column, is a large chunk and it matches the column for Hispanic. So you've got 25% white and 25% Hispanic. Now, we have had conversations, and I was listening to Sean Casey earlier talking to Senator Justin Reedy about how many illegal immigrants are on Medicaid. And I know that, you know, Senator Reedy was saying that he believed they weren't really illegals, but it sounds like there's a possibility, right? It sounds like it's hard to track. So I'm looking at this number now, And when you're thinking about the fact that we are the so-called sanctuary state, and that's how they want to keep it, just know that the number of Hispanics is rising in the state of Maryland as far as those on Medicaid. Because if you go back to the 2023 numbers, actually, this is 2022, the Hispanic number was much less than that. Like I said, right now, it's close to 25% on Medicaid. In 2022, you had about 15% on Medicaid. Now, that's a huge jump in 2 years. That's a huge jump. So if you go to go, you can get, there's a Medicaid fact sheet. You can go to, just push it, type in Medicaid fact sheet in Google, and it'll come up for you. If you want the exact, let's see, it's MedicaidFactSheet.org. Very simple. And you can look at the numbers. Now, again, this is the most recent I saw breaking it down. August 2024 is the breakdown. If you want any more numbers from this, I can give it to you. As far as eligibility levels, you've got children, top of the priority list, pregnant woman after that, or women, I should say, parents after that, childless adults after that, and then you have seniors and people with disabilities. I will say, when you're looking at those on Medicaid that have disabilities, I don't know why, but it looks and it appears to me that their eligibility, and again, they're alongside seniors, it's not a huge number as far as, you know, being eligible when you have disabilities. That's something that needs to be looked at. And remember, Delegate Michelle Guyton, and you know what? Bless her heart, because we were about to see a $200 million slash to DDA. Remember that? And then she stood up because she's an advocate for those with disabilities. We heard from our caller, Alan Woodlawn. Remember, he was upset. Glenn Gilhar, running for District 8, he was upset. Many people were upset that there was going to be such a huge slash to disabilities. But Delegate Guyton, she got on top of it. Now, of course, it's only been delayed as far as a slash as of right now. So we don't know exactly what's going to be the outcome, you know, maybe 2 years from now. But she did get a delay on it. But it seems to me that those with disabilities are not represented very well in the state of Maryland. And I can't speak on that because I don't have a family member that is on disability in any way. As I mentioned before, when I was running my nonprofit, one of our best photographers, Rashad, he was autistic. And I know he was on disability. His mom was talking to me about it. But he did so well. He was really a great photographer. And it got to the point, he was with us for so long. And even though we moved our office to Port Covington, because it was in Parkville, we moved to Port Covington. It was great because he lived by the office of Parkville, so it was easy for him to get there. His mom would just drop him off at work. But when we moved to Port Covington, he got to the point where he was able to take Uber and Lyft. And his mom was just like overjoyed at how independent he was becoming by working with us and working around other people. And even though Rashad was the only one in our office that had a disability, and I honestly, by the time I moved to Port Covington, I didn't have a ton of people on payroll. Because Rashad, he was such a hard worker. I mean, he would go through stuff really quickly. But, I mean, he was doing such a fantastic job. And you could see that he himself, he was progressing. And then he had so much more potential by the time we were dissolving Potential Me, was the name of the nonprofit, so I could run for office. But he was doing such a great job. He really is. And I found him through the ARC of Baltimore. Shout out to all the ARCs, by the way, that are helping those with disabilities. You're doing a fantastic job. That was a very easy process, and I ended up with one of the best employees I ever had because of the ARC. But I do believe that in this state, like I said, I can't speak on it, but in this state, I do believe, even from the phone calls that I received from some of you, those with disabilities are not being represented as they should be. And I hope that I'm wrong on that. I hope that I'm wrong. But I wanted to just call that out. So, of course, I put that fact sheet up, and I said to Senator Angela Alsobrooks, you, lady, stop the fear-mongering, because that's what you're doing. And this is how you end up at a town hall where people are cursing you guys out because you sit on social media and you blame President Trump for all the problems we have here in Maryland, when you really should be pointing the finger at Governor Wes Moore and the supermajority Democrats in Annapolis. That's what you should be doing, Senator. And you know that. I did want to mention there was a little bit of chaos in front of the CIA headquarters just yesterday in Virginia. And I, you know what? I said on social media, again, this is a great time to open the asylums. Can we get an executive order to have more asylums? There are some crazy people in this country. There's a lot of crazies. Well, anyways, the bomb squad was called. It was in front of the CIA headquarters. And this was a day after we learned that the CIA was involved in JFK murders. Right? And I was just kind of like, eh. It'll be interesting to hear because they were able to apprehend the individual. Nobody was hurt, thank goodness. But it'll be interesting to hear whether or not this had to stem from the files being dropped. I do wonder. I do wonder. But there are some crazy people around here. There really is. Also, I wanted to mention Nick Mosby. Remember we were wondering if he was going to be confirmed by the state to be at the State Lottery and Gaming Commission? Well, he has been confirmed. He has been confirmed. He said maybe the CIA planted the crazy. Maybe. We were like, wait a minute, we couldn't have been involved in JFK's murder. Look, we got people here. That's, you know what? I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah. So Nick Mosby has been confirmed as the State Lottery and Gaming Commissioner. This is so crazy. So it's a 5-year contract, by the way, in case you were noting. 5-year contract, $18,000 a year. This is the same Nick Mosby. Yes, you know the name. The same former city council president that was in hot water alongside his ex-wife, former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby, because she decided that she was going to apply for a hard, what was it? What did they call it? The hardship loan or something like that for COVID. Whatever the loan people were getting for hardship, and there was the PPP loans and everything that you could do through a business. She had some travel agency that she hadn't started yet, but then she pretended that she did, and she pretended that she couldn't move forward because of COVID. And so then she was like, oh, you know, we're having hardship, and la la. She gets the money. Then she goes to purchase two properties, not just one, two properties in Florida. And apparently at that time, her ex-husband, Nick Mosby, who's now our lottery and gaming commissioner, he hid at that time the tax lien that they had on their current home from his wife. And he even admitted that he didn't answer phone calls and he would hide the mail. He didn't open the mail. It sounds like a kid, right? Like, so he didn't open the mail because he knew it was going to be, you know, bills and invoices. Nikki, come on, man. Come on. You got to grow up at some point in time. Well, anyways, this is our new State Lottery and Gaming Commission. We've already been asking, where's the lottery money going? You think we're going to know now? No. No. And that was Governor Westmore that appointed him. Oh, boy. All right. I had to mention that. When we get back, I just wanted to sound off a little bit about that shooting in Annapolis just yesterday. But I'll do that after the break.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. If you're embarrassed to smile or not able to eat the foods that you enjoy due to loose, broken, or missing teeth, you should call Dr. Ari Moskowitz and his team at Baltimore Periodontics right away to schedule a free 30-minute implant consultation. Even if you've hated going to the dentist your whole life, you'll love Dr. Ari Moskowitz and his team. They're the most talented, compassionate, and caring people you could ask for. And they use sedation techniques to make sure that you're completely relaxed and comfortable during treatment. If you want to have that beautiful smile and healthy mouth that you deserve, they are the experts. They're in network with a number of medical insurance companies for this life-changing Full Arch Teeth Express Teeth in a Day implant treatment, helping to save you thousands and thousands of dollars. When was the last time you saw a periodontist? Call Dr. Ari Moskowitz and his expert team at Baltimore Periodontics, 410-744-6088. That's 410-744-6088.
Emergencies strike at any time without warning. When they do, food disappears fast. That's why prepared Americans trust My Patriot Supply, the leader in long-term emergency food storage, to protect their families. For a limited time, order their best-selling 4-week emergency food supply and get 4 free 72-hour food kits. That's 12 extra days of food at no extra cost. That's nearly 2 weeks of extra food, free, to keep your family secure. Plus, free shipping. Order by 3 p.m. for same-day shipping. All kits deliver 2,000 calories per day of easy-to-prepare meals with a shelf life up to 25 years. These kits that have been rated 4.8 out of 5 stars by tens of thousands of folks like you. When the next crisis hits, you'll be ready. Stock up now at MyPatriotSupply.com before this deal disappears. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com for your 4-week emergency food supply and 4 free extra food kits. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, insane Democrats at the U.S. Institute of Peace refuse to allow Doge representatives into the building. Not a good way to tick off the new boss. Leftists are attacking Tesla dealerships. Y'all about tired of this crap yet? Noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Don't go anywhere. You got Rob Carson coming up next. You know, there's a story going around of a Kamala voter that wiped his behind on a Cybertruck, you know, with all these Tesla attacks by the liberals. I don't even want to know how he did that. I don't think I want to know. I'm not clicking on it. I'm just letting you know that it's going around the internet right now. If you wish to click on that video, it's at Citizens Free Press, so you can go ahead and click on it. I will not. But I did want to note, and again, first of all, thanks again, David Jones, for coming on the show. Hopefully there are some elected officials listening, and they can actually, those that actually say they care about the environment, hopefully they put their, you know, their money where their mouth is, and they go and contact CSX, and they figure out how they could get those screens over some of those cars that are going through the state. You know, that's like where they could start. Obviously, there's other things that can be done, but like, come on. How much would it cost this billion-dollar company to get the screens on the cars? It can't be that much. Also, if you're looking to be an entrepreneur, maybe you could be innovative and come up with screens to put on cars for the CSX train. I'm sure they're already out there, but hey, you know what? It's a business here in Maryland. You get them to use your business. I don't know. Let's go. Let's do something here, you know? I love when we all take part in capitalism, but save the environment at the same time. You remember that cartoon, Captain Planet? Maybe, am I telling everybody how old I am? Yeah. I'm in my 40s. That was a big one. That was a big one. Captain Planet. Oh, I miss that show. All right. Back to business. Just yesterday at 7:30 a.m., there was a shooting at a bus stop in Annapolis, and a 36-year-old man was killed. 11-year-old boy was shot in the foot. The suspect is apparently still at large, but they know it's a man from Oxon Hill. I just wanted to note, I was in Annapolis yesterday, as many of you guys know. There are some areas in Annapolis that look a lot different than what they used to look like. Okay, of course, there's still some very nice areas, especially there around the State House. But, you know, very interesting. We'll continue to see where the story goes. But why was a man from Oxon Hill at this bus stop in Annapolis? I don't know. But see, this is what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying that, you know, whoever was involved, like, you know, once lived somewhere else in the state. But there seems to be a lot when it comes to moving a lot of individuals throughout the state. And then we see shootings like this in areas where you wouldn't even expect to see a shooting. I saw that the 11-year-old boy was shot in the foot and he is recovering. And I even saw the interview where it says he was more shocked than he was in pain. So tough kid. I like to hear it. Tough kid. Real quick, a texter says, Kim, I recall a Facebook debate a few years ago with a young lady over a certain state's attorney and her days not work for an elected official. Are kids today lazy or are the expectations just low? Craig in Harford County. Craig, that's a good question. I don't know. The expectations could be low and they could also be lazy, right? It could be both. Right now, we'll continue to wait and see what they do with the Department of Education. I'm sure we'll talk about that tomorrow. 94% of you say, yeah, shutter it down. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9.
Comcast Business helps turn today's small businesses